First part is a flat chat chat with Jimmy Thompson, who writes for flatchat.com.au, and that's all this week. And we'll be talking strata with him. So if you've got any questions about your block, about your unit, about your townhouse or development or whatever it might be, if it's strata, we're interested. We don't talk about houses as such. We're talking about the kind of things that are peculiar to apartment living, to unit living. 1-300-222-702 is the number if you'd like to join us this afternoon. If you're listening in the car, driving past your flat, perhaps, here's what you need to know. Lane Cove North, Epping Road, just past Mowbray Road. Truck's broken down. There's an outbound lane closed. On the M1 at Mount Kohler, Keringai Chase Road, truck's broken down. Northbound's a bit slow. Cecil Park, Westlink M7 at Elizabeth Drive off-ramp. There's a southbound lane closed. Elizabeth Drive at Meadows Road in Mount Pritchard. There's been an accident. And that's about it, according to Live Traffic New South Wales. Jimmy Thompson, who was much at leisure the last few days, perhaps until Tuesday, is that right? Wednesday?
I'll wait until I hear.
Wait until you hear. But thanks for coming in as a representative of flatchat.com.au, the website.
The independent website, which is not on strike.
Independent website, which is working hard on its own here this afternoon. Nice to see you. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Excellent. Let's talk. Call if you'd like to talk to Jimmy. 1-300-222-702 is the number. But why don't you bring us up to date, Jimmy, with one of your favourite topics, Airbnb.
My very good friends.
Are you a consultant with them now?
It's embarrassing, that they are so fond of me that they just keep phoning up my bosses.
Yeah. Is there an alarm going off somewhere in Airbnb headquarters right now?
Yeah.
He's talking again!
He said there's flashing lights. The dogs have been released.
Thompson's talking Airbnb.
Yes.
Where are we up to in New South Wales?
Well, recently the ministers, and that's Planning Minister and the Minister for Innovation and Better Regulation, Mr. Matt Keane, released their response to a report that came out last year. The report last year basically said, yay, bring it on, we love it.
Right.
And there was a very funny thing happened because...
And this was their government commissioned a report.
Government commissioned a report from
independent bunch.
Yeah, and people went along and wrote stuff. And it's called the Couret Report because that's the name of the gentleman who chaired it.
Right.
And it made 12 recommendations, I think. And the government said... now, I looked at the response and... The government said, supported for three of them. Of the other nine, it said qualified support. That's all it said. Qualified support. Now, maybe it's because I'm a glass half empty person. Mm-hmm. I said, ha-ha, they're stepping away from this. They're saying, we kind of support it, but... Right. But we don't really.
But did they support the major kind of things like, yes, you can have Airbnb in Australia?
No, they didn't. Okay. They supported the really minor stuff.
Right.
That doesn't make much difference to anyone.
Okay.
And they gave qualified support to the big things like you can have Airbnb, whether the majority of people in your apartment block want it or not.
Right.
You can have that. They stepped away from that. Now, everybody else was writing stories going, whoopee! Everybody can have Airbnb, whether they want it or not. Right. And there's me, the sort of lone voice out there going, wait.
See, you made the mistake of reading the report instead of the press release.
Exactly.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Have you learned nothing from your years as a journalist?
I just, and it's like everybody's out of step except me.
Again. So you would say that the government it had qualified support, so the important things didn't matter, which does actually fit more with... the current strata atmosphere, doesn't it? If the building says you can have pets, then you can have pets.
Yeah.
If the building says you can have Airbnb, well, then you can.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me.
Yeah. And the reality for those of us who live and work in strata is that the majority of buildings have enough trouble organising their insurance they've got to have without deciding, do we want Airbnb until either they can't have it or they've got too much of it. So it's not that big. For the best apartments, the best run apartments in the best places, those people are the ones who are worried that they're about to get flooded with, you know, if you live in an apartment block with harbour views and you've worked very hard and spent a lot of money to make the apartment block really nice, guess what? These are exactly the apartments that people want to rent.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who will be organised enough to go, nah.
Yeah. Well, there's also people organised enough to buy these kind of things and simply turn them into Airbnb, aren't they?
Well, this is one of these anecdotal stories which a lot of people are talking about, and an MP got up and said this, that this was happening, and immediately got slammed by certain organisations because they couldn't prove it. You know,
Do you think it's largely anecdotal, or do you think it's happening?
Oh, it's happening for sure.
Right.
I have no doubt whatsoever. In certain areas, in the areas where, you know, look, all those apartment blocks between the city and the airport, perfect, absolutely perfect.
Right.
You know, and you buy in there, and you know that people. You can say to people, it's only 10 minutes from the airport and 10 minutes from the city.
Right.
Why wouldn't they book
so
in
there? So it's $100 a night, and that's better than, or, you know, $200 a night, and that's better than what you're going to get as rent.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's other stuff coming. There was a report the other day that, you know, Airbnb say that the average person in Australia, the average host, makes $5,000 a year. Hmm. And this company that actually promotes Airbnb said, well, no, it's like $18,000 is the average of the people who are actually doing it.
Right.
Not the whole of everybody who ever booked in.
Whoever did one. You're right, right.
Yeah. Anybody who ever registered with them and then never went back. I don't know how accurate those figures are, but there is a disparity there. And I read this, there's a woman up in the North Shore, $250,000 a year she gets from renting for, I assume, is a very, very nice property.
Yeah.
You know, that's unusual, though. That's not everybody.
We're talking Airbnb, but we're also talking other strata issues with Jimmy Thompson from flat-chat.com.au, 1300 222 702, if you'd like to join us. So what do you think is going to happen at a government level? You're saying the government will be cracking down on this.
I think,
or is it one of those sort of they don't want to because everybody kind of likes it except the other people who don't like it? Like, it's a hard one for them, isn't it?
Well, you look at the areas where Airbnb is very active, and that tends to be around the harbour, along the beaches, you know, near the city. The number of MPs affected is actually quite small.
Right.
All the rest of the MPs are going, we don't care.
It
makes no difference to our constituents, except, you know, the irony is that, you know, the same people who are saying we don't want Airbnb in our building are also saying we live in this fabulous apartment in Paris.
Mm. That's right. We've got this. It was terrific.
Is this the same organisation? Surely not.
Are there other precincts either in Australia or around the world that have put in controls?
Oh, yeah. Right. They come in London. One of the things that they've always had a problem with is identifying the people who are illegally, whatever the rules are in a certain area. Mm. And that's one of the things that Airbnb and the other organisations have been very reluctant to say, to open their books and say, well, we know who they are, but we're not telling you. Mm. And London basically has done a deal with them. Berlin has banned them completely. Amsterdam is cracking down on them. New York is cracking down.
So it could well happen.
Oh, I think what we'll get is if you've got a house and you want to rent a house or an apartment and you want to rent out a room while you're there, that will be fine.
Right.
If you've got a house and you want to rent out the whole house, that will probably be fine too. If you've got an apartment and you want to rent out the whole apartment while you're not there, then owners' corporations, the body corporate, will be able to decide whether they want that in their building. That's my bold prediction.
Right. And then it may be a rule as simple as minimum 1 month or minimum one month. Which then cuts out the night after night after night. People tracing through.
Yeah. Mm. Which is, you know, because everybody admits that in apartment blocks, that has the most impact, the most negative impact is when you bring a noisy party into a house, then it's going to might possibly upset people on either side.
The only thing against that is that a lot of people who put their house out on Airbnb say you tend to get a great tenant because they want to be rated well as well. It's important for them to have their own. It's just as important for you to have a 5-star rating. They need a 5-star rating. So if you rented my place and you threw a party which upset my neighbours, I'm giving you 1-star. Because I put a sign on the board that said, no parties, don't bring anyone back here, it's just the two of you, and shut up.
Yeah, okay,
Do you know what I mean?
But I think that's part of the mythology of the whole Airbnb short stay letting thing, they don't have to be annoying people to disrupt your sense of your home. You live in an apartment, mm. you've got your little lift lobby, and there might be half a dozen doors coming off that. And if the people, you know, every Friday night, there's a different bunch of people dragging their suitcases in there, and, you know, on a Sunday morning, the same dragging them out, you start thinking, well, this doesn't feel like home anymore. And I know it's an intangible thing, but I think that sense of home is really important to people. And when you feel like you're living in a hotel, you think, well, I may as well live in a hotel, because then somebody else will change the sheets for me.
You may have thoughts on this. 1-300-222-702 is the number, or you may just like to ask Jimmy anything else that you're thinking about or dealing with in your block, your strata, your units. 1-300-222-702. If you'd like to join in. Hello, Deborah.
Hi.
What do you need to know?
I think you just answered my question with that last answered my question with the last one. But we lease a cafe at the bottom of units, and we applied for a liquor licence to be able to sell alcohol with meals, and we were told by strata that this wasn't allowed.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that that restricts us in being able to improve the business. Wondering, we kind of walked away from it when we were told that. Is there any avenues you can go to?
Well, hi, Deborah. The thing about the Owners' Corporation, if they had in their bylaws something saying under no circumstances can you serve alcohol in your commercial premises, then they could reasonably argue, look, you should have known this. But if that doesn't exist, then in a way, I would be seriously going back to them and saying, look, this is a restraint of trade as far as we're concerned. What are your issues? What do you see is going to be the problem? Because, you know, we think the people in your building who want to come down here and have a bowl of pasta would quite like to have a glass of red wine with it. Mm. So, you know, it sounds like they're being a bit heavy-handed, unless it already says in your bylaws or in the DA that there will be no service of alcohol.
Well, apparently it was put in the bylaws after the cafe was the owner of the cafe told us that the bylaw was put up after the cafe had opened.
Right.
It had been running for a couple of years. And he talked about doing it. And once they got wind that he was considering it, then the bylaws were put in.
Yeah.
Right. And I suppose that's still okay, isn't it? I mean, you might consider it until it happened.
Well, the thing is that he would have, if he had known they were going to do that, he had the opportunity to contact all the owners and get the 25% of owners to say, don't put that bylaw in. Mm. So he's let that slide.
Yeah.
And now Deborah's facing the consequences.
I mean, it's
but you can still get it reversed. You can go back. You can go back to people and say, you know, this is very heavy-handed. Mm. This is all we want to do. It's actually a service for the building.
Yep.
You know, let's look at the bylaw and try and get it changed.
Deborah, thanks for that. 1-300-222-702 is the number, and good luck with that, David. But if you'd like to join us, you got a question, you might be something like that. You're leasing in a strata, you've got a question, or you're living in strata and there's something happening in your block. Give us a yell. Graham?
Hi, how are you, Dan?
Yeah, what have you found? What happened to you?
Well, I had a tenant who subletted the apartment out to Airbnb against the lease agreement without my knowledge, and it was a nightmare. I only found out after people started complaining in the building about the parties and things like that. They damaged stuff, and I was led to believe that if they fell over or hurt themselves, that it wasn't the tenant who was liable. Because it was my place, I would have been liable for any injury to the person at Airbnb. So, you know, it's all well to say, you know, if you're an owner, that the body corporate has some sort of sway over you. But if you're in that situation, you've got no leg to stand on whatsoever.
Mm. Couldn't you get... I mean, Graham, that sounds like the tenant's broken his lease, so see you later, isn't it?
No, but you've got to be able to get in. So to have an inspection, you can't just knock on the door and say, you know, this is the rental police. We want to see if you've got someone on Airbnb. You've got to give them 3 weeks' notice for an inspection. And by that
I would have thought you could look it up on Airbnb.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I I totally understand. I mean, it's difficult, as it should be. You can't just throw people out without any evidence, but it's gathering the evidence. And the same people who've been complaining about the parties and things, well, that's evidence to take to... That's a breach of the lease to begin with,
right?
Because they're breaching the bylaws. And if you're breaching a bylaw, you're in breach of your lease. So you gather the evidence, and you gather the evidence from the people who are complaining, and you go to Fair Trading and you say, I want to evict these people because they've broken the lease.
The person comes up with a photo and says, here's a place today, it is empty, there isn't a person there. And the mediator says, look, on the balance of probability, I have to believe this person isn't a liar, and you've wasted your time. I mean, the whole system...
Well, have you had that happen to you?
Have you tried it?
I've had experience in the tribunals with mediators, and it's just, you know, it's an absolute waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, all a person has to do is say they're not doing it today, and that's all that the mediator can act on.
I mean, my understanding of Airbnb is it's a forward facing website. Your apartment is listed on Airbnb. You know, if you put in your address, I don't know if the address comes up, but you'd be pretty much able to find it.
Well,
and if it's listed there, then your tenant is breaking the lease, aren't they?
The address doesn't come up. And there's cases that were reported to me recently of buildings in the city where the building that allowed Airbnb was advertised on the website. And the guy also had an apartment in the adjoining building.
Right.
So he was meeting them on the street.
But like, if the tenant's got a place, like you, I wouldn't have thought it'd be that hard to find your place on Airbnb, Graham.
Well, it is, because they've got a photo of it, and the real estate agent downloads the photo and says, here's your lovely place.
So have you had a look on Airbnb for your place?
When I was alerted to what was happening, and, you know, I gave the tenants final notice to vacate, a warning, and then final notice, and they just snubbed their nose at me and said, well, bad luck, we're not moving out, you can't prove it.
Right.
But it's on Airbnb. Anyway, Graham, I understand your frustration. I'm sure often when you deal with these things, it's a process, and it's, you know, whether it's weighted one way or the other, everyone's got to have a fair hearing under that. I can understand that. But I can hear your frustration there. And anything further that he should be doing, do you think, Kenny?
No, I mean, I would be starting to look at informal ways of dealing with this problem, like changing the locks and doing things that aren't strictly legal, but let them chase you for... And by that, when I say things that aren't strictly legal, I don't mean acts of violence or anything like that. But just, you know, finding that we need to look at the electrical supply because there might be a problem with my apartment and that kind of thing. If somebody's is prepared to disrupt you and basically lie to you by signing a lease that they've got no intention of sticking by, I think they have crossed a line, and you can operate on that side of the line as well. But you know, nothing too heavy.
Graham, thanks for that. 1-300-222-702 is our number. Hello there, Bruce.
Yes. With no safety device. I'm wondering if you can use a screw to stop the window opening more than 125 millimetres.
Okay, so this is the new law, Jimmy, where your windows have to be only open so far. You've got to have window safety.
Yes. You've got to have a device in there that stops the window from opening beyond the set measurement. And there are a lot of devices on the market which, for instance, you can install a lock which can be removed, so that you can open the window to its full width. The basic thing is a good idea to stop small children falling out of high buildings. But some people are going the opposite direction. You've got owners' corporations going in and putting in aluminium strips so that the window can never be opened any wider than that. And you've got people installing locks, which they basically go, there's a lock installed, there's a picture of the lock installed, I'm now taking the lock, I'm putting it in that drawer over there if anybody wants it.
Neither of which is the intention of the law.
Neither of which, exactly. I think putting a screw in the window frame is effective. I don't know if it would protect you if somebody came around and said, where's your window locks?
So that may not be compliant, Bruce. So like, might shut the window, but that's not the compliance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It doesn't say anywhere that you can't use them. I've got some things from It doesn't say you can use them, it doesn't say you can't use them.
Right. Yeah, your problem arises when the owners' corporation comes round and says, we just need to check your windows because we have a legal responsibility, because the windows are common property. We have a responsibility to make sure the windows are compliant with the law. And if they're looking at a nice shiny screw there, they might say, that's not really working for us.
Right, right. Bruce, thanks for your call. Jenny?
Yes,
what's happening?
So a top floor apartment in a small block has a mould and so on growing on the ceiling, which the manager of the unit, not the strata manager, said was due to a leak in the roof. We got our insurance out, and they had a look, said the roof was fine, absolutely no problem. Maybe some one-off thing happened.
Right.
This top floor roof should be concrete, according to the council-approved plans, and was never approved to change. But it happens to have a framed roof with aircon supply and return ducting in it, looking at the ceiling. So it seems possible that maybe that's got some condensation, dripping onto the ceiling, because they say it's still wet, and they say, oh, you know, you strata guys, you got to fix it.
Right.
Doesn't seem fair if it's only supplying that one unit.
So you're on the committee?
Yes.
Right. The roof is your problem.
Well, we've had it looked at, and it's been declared fine.
How old is the building?
5 years.
There's a very distinct...
The metal deck roof.
Right. It's a very distinct possibility that the seal on the roof is broken at some point, and it may have been broken by the air conditioning. If the air conditioning was installed by the owners corporation and it's owners corporation property, or with the permission of the owners corporation, basically, if that's the problem, you have to fix it. If it was an individual who had installed the air conditioning and had done so without permission or with permission, you could probably get them to fix it. But it's just one of these things. You know, it doesn't seem fair. You're right, but I think you just got to fix it.
But what about if it was installed by the original builder who kept retention of the unit, who built that unit differently without a concrete roof and didn't seek, obviously, permission because there was no owners corporation?
So that's what happens.
That
right?
sounds like it. Yeah. Well, that person has since sold the apartment to someone else.
No, still there, but. And
still there.
It's an owner's corporation problem. And the insurance company, builder, says absolutely no problem with the roof and has walked all over it, taken photos, nothing absolutely wrong. Right.
Okay, in that case, so basically the builder is suing the owner's corporation or is chasing the owner's corporation to fix a problem that you think he or she caused.
Yes.
Okay, in that case, I would say to you, bring it on, you go to court, you prove that it's our liability because we think it's yours.
Jimmy, you on strike is quite feisty, can I just say, today. Jenny, thanks for that, and good luck with that. Penelope wants to put an alternative view to the view you're saying on Airbnb. She's texted and said, your guest has a view, that's you, that does not necessarily accord with the view of most apartment home owners. Most people believe they should be able to use their properties as they wish. Mm-hmm. He ignores the fact that there is much greater control over an Airbnb guest than a tenant. Mm-hmm. If an investment flat is rented to a ratbag tenant, there's little neighbours can do. Mm-hmm. However, because of the rating system, you're unlikely to get ratbags via Airbnb.
Unlike the person who was on the phone before. Who had a ratbag tenant.
Yeah, but he can't get rid of the tenant. Like, that's actually what she's saying. Yeah, he's having trouble getting rid of the tenant.
This view that everybody who lives in, and this is the Airbnb standard line, everybody who lives in the apartment and owns an apartment has the same right as a homeowner who owns a house. It's so, you know, it's last century. Mm. You can now have 75% of your neighbours tell you to sell your apartment to a developer.
Right.
There you go.
The rights are different.
They can tell you how many people you can allow to live in the apartment. Your neighbours can tell you you may not have more than two people per bedroom. So this whole thing of my home, my apartment is my castle, it's nonsense. It's long gone. You're in a shared space. You share amenities. You share costs. And you share responsibilities. And you can't just say, I'm just going to remove myself from that because I can make some money out of it.
Mm. Penelope, thanks for texting it through. Mr. Thompson, thank you so much.
I apologise for the excessive feistiness.
I think he's a little pent up. I think we need to get him back to work. Flat-chat.com.au if you're looking for further information or communication.